King Herod, the Bible says, was vexing certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, the Bible says, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, the Jews were happy about anything or anyone that tried to do something to stop Christianity. They might not have agreed with everything King Herod did, but when he killed James, they were all for that, and when he arrested Peter, they were all for that as well. They wanted to stamp out this thing that Christ has started, that his disciples were carrying forth. They just wanted to stamp it out. Now, I'll tell you what, there are still like people alive like that today, that it pleases them when anyone or anything tries to hinder the cause of Christ. They want to take God out of everything. They just want to remove where this nation has put God, and they just want to take him out of everything. These people are for freedom of speech, and they're for freedom of religion as long as it doesn't come to Christianity. They'll recognize all sorts of groups. And I think all sorts of, we live in a country where, we say everybody has the right to worship their God in the way they choose to do it. But it's funny to me that we'll stand up for the groups of others, but when it comes to Christians, there's all sorts of people that want to stop it and get in the way. And so Herod saw that it pleased the Jews when he killed James, he says, and so he arrested Peter. And by the way, I would remind you that that was two of the inner circle. James and John and Peter made up the inner circle of disciples. They were the ones that were on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured, and that voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." They were the ones that Jesus took into the room when he raised Jairus's daughter. You remember? Nobody else could go into the room except those three disciples and the little girl's parents. She was 12, a little 12-year-old girl, had died. And all the people at the house were making a big to-do about it. And Jesus said, "Hey, she's not dead. She's just asleep." And they said, "You don't know what you're talking about. She is dead." And I would have liked to have been there to see what they said a few minutes later when that little girl walked out of the room. Death gave way to the Savior. And so they were there. They were also the three that he took deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested. And he said, "My soul is troubled. Pray with me." And the other disciples were a little bit further. But he said, "You three come with me. I want you to come and be closer to me and pray for me." And so Herod had killed James, one of the inner circle. He had arrested Peter. And it would have really pleased the Jews for him to go out, carry out what he had planned for Peter. And the Bible says there in verse 4, they put him in prison and assigned him four squads of four soldiers to guard him. So there were 16 soldiers that were guarding one man. They weren't in shifts. They were all 16 there at the same time. And the Bible says, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. In other words, bring him out of jail and kill him. I don't know if he was going to kill him the same way he did James with the sword, but the Bible doesn't tell us what time after Easter. I think it was the very day after Easter. I think it was the next day that Herod planned to bring him out and to kill him. And I was reading this story last week, and some thoughts just started coming into my mind. And I said, this story paints a wonderful picture of how we get saved and what God expects us to do after we get saved. Now, Peter was already saved. But I'm going to use the story of his salvation from Herod to paint a picture of how we get saved and what God expects us to do after we get saved. And I got 8 points tonight, okay? 8 points. So I got to preach fast, and you got to listen fast, and I know most of you are full. Kenny told me I'm going to have to beat the pulpit and yell and shout to keep him awake, and so some of you others probably fall in that same category. So I want you to listen with your ears on their highest velocity tonight, and I want to just share 8 things with you. Number one, death is sure to those that reject Christ. spiritual death, separation from God forever, is a sure thing to those that reject Jesus Christ. Now, Peter faced certain death. Herod had already killed James. He was in prison, and the day after Easter, Herod was going to bring him forth, and he was going to kill him. There was no way to escape. Guarded by 16 soldiers, chained up, and in this cell, and he faced certain death. So does everyone that rejects Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And again, spiritual death, separation from God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so if you reject Christ, if you reject what he did for you on Calvary, there is no way that you are coming to God. You do not come by heritage. It doesn't matter what your mom and dad were or what your grandpa and grandma were. It doesn't come by association. You can be associated with the church and you can be associated with everything that goes on in the church. But you don't come to God by association. It doesn't come by works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You come by the way of the cross, you come by the way of Christ, or you don't come. You don't come. You reject Christ, death is sure. You don't believe these screwballs, and that's what they are, that say God is such a loving God that if he sends people to hell, he won't leave them there forever. That is a lie straight out of hell. There is no second chance when you get to hell. There is no purgatory that you go to and people pay or pray your way out of it. And we're talking about that on Wednesday night, by the way. But death is sure to those that reject Christ. Number two, salvation comes when we see the light. In verse 7, we read it. There's a light shined in the prison. The angel of the Lord came upon Peter. And that light was God's salvation for Peter from that situation. Again, he was already saved. He was always all the way on his way to heaven. But from that situation, the light was Peter's salvation. And again, his salvation from certain death at the hands of Herod was nigh, was close, when he saw the light. So our salvation is nigh when we see the light of the world. And we in that light see our sin. We see, as Phyllis testified a moment ago, how unworthy we are. And we see in that light the perfect righteousness of a Savior that went to the cross and took all our sins upon him and died on that cross for all our sins. When we see that light, our salvation is nigh. And Peter's number three, when we see the light, what we need to do is take a step of faith, an act of faith, and get up. That's what Peter did. When he saw the light, the angel said, get up. That was his act of faith. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Peter said, we read about it, he said, I thought this was a dream. I thought it was a vision. I didn't know it was real. And yet, when the angel said, Peter, come on, get up. And he didn't say, we're going to get out of here. He just said, get up. Peter's act of faith was getting up. Was getting up. Same way. We can see the light. The devil knows that Jesus is the light of the world. Our step of faith is when we do what the Bible says. When we realize that we're a sinner and we call out to a Savior and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. Please save me now. That is our act of faith. Again, our salvation is nigh when we see the light. But until we exercise that faith and call out to Jesus and ask him to save us, we're not saved. And so when we see the light, what we need to do is get up and call on Christ and ask him to save us. Number four, once we are saved, our duty is to follow. is to follow. In Acts chapter 12, verse 8, the angel of the Lord said, follow me, follow me. He didn't say, hey, Peter, go. He didn't say, go that way. He didn't give Peter a map and say, follow this map. He said, follow me. When we get saved, God says the same thing to us. Follow me. Follow me in baptism. He set the example. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He taught us, he'll teach us how to do it. Follow me and I will lead you in the way that you need to go and the places that you need to go. Just like God did in the wilderness. And when the people of God were traveling from Egypt to the promised land, God didn't say go. He said one time go when they made him really mad. He said, I'm not going with you, you just go. And Moses said, oh no, we're not going unless you go. But he didn't say go. He didn't point them in that direction. He said, follow me. And with that pillar of cloud and with that pillar of fire, he led them to the promised land. He will do the same thing to us. Once we're saved, he said, just follow me. Follow me. We sing that little song sometimes. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I need to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. You know, sometimes we make the Christian life too hard. We think we got to figure out what to do and where to go and what to be on our own. Man, you're struggling when you don't need to struggle. Jesus just said, follow me. I'll lead you. I'll show you. Number five, when we follow him, doors will open. Acts chapter 12, verse 10. The iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. The angel didn't need to push it open. Peter didn't need to push it open. It opened all on its own. And when we're following Christ, he'll open doors that he wants us to go through. Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. He said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. He says, I'm following Christ and he's opening doors. And there's a lot being accomplished for the cause of Christ as he opens these doors. I mean, you heard Brother Darrell testify. It was God that opened the door yesterday in that trailer park to that lady and her four kids so that they could present the gospel and tell them about Jesus and see them get saved. And that's the way God works. When we follow him, he will open the doors that he wants us to go through. Number six, as we go through those doors, our friends and our family will be astonished. Now, we didn't read it, but it's later on in the chapter. The angel leaves Peter in the streets. And so he goes to the house of Mary, the mother of Mark. And some of the church is there praying for him. And so he goes and knocks on the door. And he didn't want to draw any attention. And so there's a little girl named Rhoda that came to the door. Who is it? Who is it? And Peter says, it's me, Peter, open the door. Who is it? It's me, Peter, open the door. And this little girl, I don't know how old she was. I think she was a blonde, but I'm not sure. Just kidding. Seeing if you were listening. I was just seeing if you were listening. But she goes running back. She says, you'll never guess who's at the door. Peter's at the door. No, 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 no. He's not at the door. He's probably dead already. What are you talking? No, he's at the door. Here's old Peter. He's just knocking and knocking. Finally, somebody hears him knocking and comes to the door and opens the door. And the Bible says, when they saw him, they were astonished. Astonished. And when he told them how he got out of jail, and now this is not in the Bible, I'm just using my imagination for this, I think they were astonished more. So you never believe it. An angel came. A light shined. He told me to get up, and the chains fell off. I got up, and the chains fell off, and I put my coat on, and the soldiers were just there, and we walked out, and we got to the iron gate, and it opened all by himself, and here I am. And they were astonished. when the people of God are following Christ and going through the doors that he opens, our friends and our family and the world will be astonished. The world has been astonished, and our friends and our family have been astonished about how God has answered prayers in this church. I mean, we've been praying for Bev for a long time. And every time God answers prayer, in a big way, by the way, people are astonished. You know what the doctors told Pam and the doctors told Kim? It ain't supposed to work this way. This is not the way it works. Cancer just doesn't go away on its own. They are astonished. There are some people that know people in this church whose lives have been transformed, and they can't believe it. They don't think it's the same person. They just can't believe the change that God has wrought in their life. The world is astonished by your faithfulness, your sticking to it. The world and your friends and your family are astonished. Number 7, the enemy is defeated. Again, we didn't read about this, but in Acts chapter 12, verse 23, the angel of the Lord smote him, talking about Herod. Herod gave a speech, and people said, it's the voice of God. And Herod said, that's right, it's the voice of God. And the Bible says that God said, okay, buddy, that's it. And the Bible says that God sent worms and ate them up. Worms. Now, I don't know about you, if I was going to pick between dying like James did with the sword or dying like Herod did with the worms, I'd pick the sword. I mean, I want somebody to run me through, chop my head off, and get it over, get it over with. I wouldn't want to die by worms eating at you. This for all the little boys. Jameson, I wonder if those worms came out of his ears or out of his nose. Yeah! You girls, just ignore that. But if I was going to pick, I'd pick being run through or my head chopped off with a sword as opposed to the worms. I want to tell you something. Our enemy has already been defeated. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And our enemy has already been defeated. And then number 8, the word of God grew and multiplied. In Acts chapter 12, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Now you get the picture. Herod tried to stop it. I mean, he killed James. He came up, if I can kill Peter, I can stop this thing right now. I'm going to kill two of the inner circle. I can stop the spread of this thing called Christianity. Instead, he provided an opportunity for it to grow. I mean, when Peter went out and said, hey, I was delivered by God from prison, from sure death, and when they saw that Herod was eaten up by worms, the people said, man, God's real. His word is true. This thing called Christianity is something we ought to pay attention to. God works the same way today. If we follow Christ and go through the doors that he opens, and we realize that our enemy has already been defeated, the word of God will grow and multiply. So, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, death is sure. Spiritual death is sure. You're going to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. There's nothing else that you can do except come to Christ to come back to God. You need to see the light, and you need to exercise faith and get up and ask Jesus to save you. If you're a Christian here tonight, your duty is just to follow him. Go through the doors that he will open, and let God work through you. Your friends, your family, the world will be astonished. And the word of God will grow and multiply. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful examples that you put in it. of how you can use ordinary people to do great things. And I pray, Father, first of all, if there's somebody here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that tonight would be the night. That they would quit trying to come to God some other way, and they would come the way that you told us to come, through Christ. And if there's just one here, Father, I pray that tonight would be the night they ask Jesus to save them. In fact, I pray you'd help them pray right where they sat. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. Please save me now. And then, Father, in just a second, we have this song of invitation that they would come and just share with the rest of us what they did so that we could rejoice with them. Most of us tonight are Christians. We know Christ is our Savior. There was a day in our life where we asked him to save us, and he did. And I pray, Father, that we'd just follow him. That where he leads, we would go. And as he opens doors, we would go through them. And that, Father, you would use us in a mighty way to show the world that you are real. And this thing called Christianity is real. And that the only way to heaven is to come to Christ. Bless this time of invitation. Please use it as you see fit. Help us to be obedient to what the Spirit directs us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.